The sermon was preached in St. Paul's Anglican Church in Athens on the ninth Sunday of Trinity 2020, the 9th of August. The main reading for today is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. The coach wound its way down the steep mountainside road. It pulled into a lay-by and we all got out. There ahead of us was our first glimpse. From our vantage point, we could see the Syrian Sea, Lake Tiberias, or, as it's best known, the Sea of Galilee. For most of the pilgrims in our group, these few days based in the town of Tiberias, beside the Sea of Galilee, would be the high point of their pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Our guide added to the anticipation. In a few hours just before sunset, we would sail out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee, he said. All except Father Leonard, he continued. He will walk out and join us later. I'm being frivolous. In simple trust, like theirs who heard, beside the Syrian Sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us, like them without a word, rise up and follow thee. We find Jesus and his disciples in Galilee, the same region where we heard in last Sunday's Gospel that Jesus had fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. This was home territory for some of the disciples because they had been called from their fishing nets in this very place. After the miraculous feeding of 5,000, Jesus has gone into isolation. He leaves the others and goes up into the mountains to pray. You'll recall that I said last week that it's often after prayer, heart to heart with God the Father, that many miracles happen. When he descends from the mountain, restored, refreshed, strengthened, re-energized, whatever else it is that happens in prayerful transfiguration, Jesus returns. It is night. And one of the storms has whipped up, and his fishermen disciples are being tossed around, much buffeted by the power of the waves. The storm lasts all night. They must have been exhausted by the toils and strains of battling to keep afloat, to try and endure until the storm might abate. The early morning dawn begins to break, and in the faint light of pre-sunrise, they see Jesus walking towards their boat. What a terrifying sight this must have been. They have worked all night battling the storm, and now they see a figure walking towards them. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter, always the first to react, tests to see if their eyes deceive them. Call me. Peter, come. He jumps into the sea and begins immediately to sink. Of course he does. We can't walk on water. Our Lord alone is able to command nature. For the rest of us, it is just that. It's nature. We can't change certain things. Only Jesus can transform and change the way things are. They're terrified. Of course. It's a natural condition. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace. Peace is what Jesus brings to the situation. He commands the storm to cease, and the calm waters of the Sea of Galilee return. In our storm-tossed lives, it is this peace that we so much need. There is a turmoil in our world at present that is unsettling all of us, disturbing us. The delicate balance of political life seems to be in peril worldwide. We see the rise of maverick politicians on every continent. We see social incohesion as an underlying fear of instability bubbles to the surface. peoples everywhere are rising up in storms of frustration, such as the people of Lebanon, despairing of poor and corrupt political leadership after that terrible disaster this week. Portland in Oregon, USA, where for weeks there have been nightly confrontations between citizens and law enforcement officers. In Turkey, the conversion of Hagia Sophia into an active mosque has disturbed the hitherto still diplomatic waters that enabled that magnificent ancient church to be a neutral but sacred place. So many things all at one time that distract us emotionally, psychologically, but also spiritually. Breathe through the heats of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, wind and fire. O still, small voice of calm. Finding times to isolate ourselves are invaluable, not because of government restrictions, but to disengage from the storms and turmoils of everyday life. We all benefit from visiting places that encourage stillness within us, where we can engage with ourselves more intensely, and where we can allow a clearer vision of how things can and should be in our lives, to grow in our maturity into the fullness of the stature of Christ. This might be a mountainside. After all, this is where Jesus isolated for prayer. It may be on a beach. After all, it's from a beach that Jesus called the fishermen to be his disciples. For some people, it may be a place, a monastery or retreat house, for example, where the daily rhythm of a community's prayer life can be shared without any anxiety about what we should do, what do I say, what is expected of me. One unlikely source for sharing such benefits is Patrick Lee Fermor. Well known in Greece, of course, he is better remembered for capturing a German general in Crete during World War II, or for his travel journeys, or maybe even for his somewhat risque personal lifestyle. Yet another side of his character is beautifully revealed in a small book he wrote called A Time to Keep Silence. In this, he records his visit to several monasteries and speaks of how these religious communities affected him. He says, "For in the seclusion of a cell, an existence whose quietness is only varied by the silent meals, the solemnity of ritual and long, solitary walks in the woods, the troubled waters of the mind grow still and clear, and much that is hidden away and all that clouds it floats to the surface and can be skimmed away. And after a time one reaches a state of peace that is unthought of in the ordinary world." So often when I've taken groups away on retreats, I've heard words like, "back to normal tomorrow." But what is normal life? Is it the life we just put up with and end up contributing to? The life that brings stress, anxiety, and even ill health? Or is normal life something different, but we just block it out or subdue it, suppressing all the grace and the blessings of Christ? Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. That choice of normal life is to a large extent up to us. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. In deeper reverence praise.